141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point of the international break. Motherwell's new chairman says the club wants to hang on to Lennon Miller as long as possible. Craig Gordon thinks Scotland are ready to turn performances into points in the Nations League. And Celtic host Chelsea Women in the Champions League this evening. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley, who arrived about 10 seconds ago. Even by your standards, that was spectacularly unprofessional, but you're here now and ready to grace the nation with your presence.
I am, as always, Gordon. I left my house nice and early, said I was going to be here at 22. At one point in the car, I said I was going to be here at 10 past, so there was a massive sweat going on.
Stress.
But, oh, mate, honestly.
Been there.
But you two wanted me to be late, and I made it. So
I did. I don't think Gordon did, but I definitely wanted you to.
I secretly did. It just gives me the good ammunition.
Yeah, and especially how you replied to my message that I sent you as well. It wasn't
no
very,
sympathy.
Very nice.
Absolutely none. Anyway, 01419511025. What do you want to talk about? It's midweek. It's not a lot happening. Scotland are playing on Friday. You can look ahead there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can give us your general thoughts about the state of things in the domestic scene at the moment. There's been a lot of debate about young players coming through at the moment. You could go down that road. You could quiz Simon Donnelly about the Masters tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that's tomorrow. That's why you got your legs out.
Yeah, I've
given them some air.
I've been for a massage today.
How bad is that? Wow. That you have to go for a rub the day before, just in the hope that it works.
Flush the rubbish out.
The calf. Is the calf better now?
We'll see tomorrow.
How much better can it be if he's getting treatment the day before?
We'll see tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
We could do that later, couldn't we? We could get all the squads out, put them up, see who he thinks best, see who's going to smash him in your absence.
I know. I need to get in contact with someone to smash you, actually.
Hibs fans, I suppose it's been a big week for you. You've got your Hibs man, your resident Hibs man in here if you want to.
Bad result again.
Test his.
Cheers, mate.
Patience.
Terrible.
On that sort of thing, whatever it is, whatever you've got, come on. A bit of a blank slate, I think, when you get to this stage of international week, especially the first one. You've not even got a Scotland performance to moan about yet, because it's not come round until Friday. But you can look ahead to that. Anything else, whatever's been on your mind, maybe you've been waiting for a quiet time to get something off your chest. 01419511025. That is the number you need. Anything doing?
Yeah, are these cameras malfunctioning? Because there's a lot of, you know, you're talking and it keeps flashing on me and Si. I know we're obviously,
you're the star of the show.
And not you.
No, you're the star of the show, yeah. That's fine.
Oh. Normally it's just on whoever's talking.
You must be breathing really heavily and it just thinks that you're talking. because you rushed in here last.
It's triggering it.
Because you rushed in last minute.
Hopefully we can talk about Hibs today, though.
In all seriousness.
Yeah.
You want to get it off? You want to see this as like therapy for you?
Yeah. Simon's already said we had a bad result of the weekend, but
terrible. I used the word terrible.
Yeah, but they came out and backed the manager. Said they're going to keep the manager. So some people were happy. Some of the fans were happy. Some not so happy. Some want the board to go. So yeah, it's a bit of a club's in a bit of a mess at this moment in time. But have full faith in Dave and obviously the board in terms of January to bring in more players. And yeah, we'll stay up because do you know what, Gordon? At the start of the season, I was saying we're going to finish in the top six, but I was expecting Europe. Now I'm just happy to stay
in the league.
I think. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like,
to what? To stay in the league?
Yeah.
No. Come on.
What do you mean, no? We're going to go down or no?
No, you're not going to go down. I wouldn't expect you to go down, no.
Who do you expect to go down then? Go on then. Like putting the glasses on. Glasses. I can't remember who's in there.
I can't remember who I predicted, to be honest. But it'd usually be wrong anyway. But I just don't think the likes of Hibs.
Yeah, who do you think's going to go down? Don't sit on the fence. Oh, you do know. You said not Hibs.
I think I went for Ross County at the weekend, to be honest. You look at seventh. There's 4 points between seventh and Hibs.
Yeah,
but they need to pick up. Look at their form's terrible.
Anyway, we've let Marvin Bartley hijack it with his Hibs agenda, but which is fine. I did say it's a bit of a blank canvas for you tonight. Why not come on and just let us know whatever it is that's on your mind? 01419511025. I did say there's still a couple of headlines at doing the rounds today. The new Motherwell chairman's been speaking about wanting to keep Lennon Miller as long as possible. He's only 33 years of age as well. The new Motherwell chairman.
Seen a little bit of your interview.
It's quite something, isn't it?
You not seen it on?
No.
Thanks for watching. It's really good.
He's blocked on social media. Anything that you do with him,
I'll send
That's
it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story, I have to say. Did an interview with him for Sky Sports today. Mm-hmm. Well, recorded it earlier this week. 33. He's the CEO of a clothing company. He's at other clothing companies. He's
I was going to mention the clothing company as well.
Yeah, you can if you want. Yeah, his father-in-law. His father-in-law is on the board of Hertha Berlin. It's just a really cool story. Yeah.
Who are the two footballers?
Be inspired.
Oh, okay.
So it's a pretty cool story. And then you're in at the deep end and asked, how are you going to keep Lennon Miller? Are you going to keep him? What are you going to sell him for? That sort of thing. So I know that's one that tends to excite people or get people debating out there. So you could do that on 01419511025. New Motherwell chairman wanting to keep Lennon Miller as long as possible. Craig Gordon's been speaking. He's on Scotland duty. Big week coming up on that front. You know, I think people accepted that there was an upturn. It was a good performance. How could you not think that against Portugal?
The last two.
The 0-0.
Yeah.
Just at some point, obviously, trying to take that next stage and get a win.
That's going
to
happen. Poland away.
Not Croatia at home.
Not Friday.
Point on Friday. 3 points on
you
Monday.
Think so?
Yeah.
Happy with that. Yeah. Take that.
That's what I'm going for. 4 points.
I think we might get a positive result on Friday. Possibly.
Yeah, well, there we go. You could only 2 days to go. You could just look ahead to that very quickly. 01419511025. If you have any Scotland thoughts, I know a lot of you are out there, and sometimes you need to sit back and get caught up in the madness of us debating domestic football constantly. But whatever it is, why not give us a shout right now? I've got my theories on this. I've got a suspicion about what Ryan's calling for. And I did say it's really up to you. Just whatever you want, get it off your chest. But I'm just trying to piece it all together. And the first caller through is a Kilmarnock fan. Ryan's a Kilmarnock fan. Surprise me, Ryan. What is it you want to mention?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Marvin and Simon.
Evening, mate.
Hi, Ryan.
I just want to congratulate East Kilbride on their victory last night. It was a joy to behold.
Who did they play?
Who did they play?
Yeah.
That wee diddy team for South Ayrshire.
Seriously? This is pettiness that even... Because usually we obviously sort of revolve around Old Firm rivalry, that sort of pettiness. I am here for this. I said it was a quiet night, and the first caller is a Killy fan who wants to slag Ayr for getting knocked out of the Challenge Cup. This is new for this show. I don't mind it.
Nah, I don't mind it either. What a result, though, for East Kilbride.
We actually watched it, the opening stages in here, and they were flying at the start, weren't they?
The second goal,
very quick.
Second goal was brilliant, but no, massive result.
Second goal was the one we were talking about. Starts with the keeper.
Yeah, and then switch of play.
Yeah.
Brilliant game for them.
So that's cheered up your international break, right? That your rivals get beat in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, it gives me something to cling on to until I get to watch Kelly again. I've got another quick thing that I want to ask you about, Gordon.
Me personally, geez, no one cares what I think usually. Go on then.
I'm trying to understand your frustration with the 10 in a row head flip coins. I mean...
My apologies to anyone who is watching on the live stream and caught where Ryan was going with that joke. I think because we sort of maybe got it slightly in time. I don't know. But if you were watching the live stream and are offended by the slightly adult tone to Ryan's joke at 6:10 on Simon's not even got it yet. Nah, I'll tell you at the break.
He needs to put his glasses on. So
I will tell you at the break. It was a take on the fact that when I toss the coin, it lands on heads a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. It's coming to me.
Okay, old man.
It's what?
Yeah.
This is going to be a long night, isn't
it? That was quite something, though. I know you did it in the break. No, I actually listened to the show. Like 9 times. That's pretty impressive.
Great.
Pretty impressive.
I really just want to move on because it started. We've opened the show talking about Challenge
Brian's,
Cup.
Brian's took it to another level.
And then Brian's been kicked off for making rude jokes.
Oh, his name was Brian. I thought it was Ryan.
Oh, no, it was Ryan. Sorry. I'm just making up his name now as well. Great. I've properly descended into farce and we've got an hour and 50 minutes to go. Cool. Anyone else got anything else that they want to get off their chest?
Where's some result for East Kilbride, isn't it? My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the way they played. Yeah. Unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. Didn't expect that, to be fair. Like, because Ayr have started one in the last couple
started
of games.
Started well. I didn't think they were too impressive on Friday night. Did you watch the game? I didn't think there was too much quality in the game. I know they're missing some players, but yeah, that was a bit of an upset last night.
I don't think Scott Brown was too happy after, was he?
I can imagine not.
No, he was not very happy at all.
Anyway, that's I've kind of been rocked by that. I don't know how we, I don't know how we come back, but let's try. 01419511025. You want to talk about the Scotland games coming up? You want to go back to domestic football? You can. Like I said, there's been a lot of debate this week about, you know, young players coming through and the percentage of minutes that they're getting in the top flight. I've seen social media. I know loads of you have got opinions on that, so you might want to share them right now. We can hear from this Motherwell chairman as well, talking about Lennon Miller, who was actually in Scotland under-19s duty today. I noticed he asked to play for the 19s. I know there was a lot of debate there about whether it's time to look at these types of players for the A squad and all that sort of stuff. But whatever it is you fancy, 01419511025, or if you're maybe you're even going along to Celtic against Chelsea in the Women's Champions League tonight. We had the Celtic goalkeeper on last night previewing that. So lots to look forward to there. Right, at Clyde SSB as well on Twitter. Just let me double check and make sure Ryan didn't cause too much of a scene with his joke. I think we were okay. I think we were fine. Just about. We just about got away with it. And Simon Donnelly still didn't get it, still hasn't heard it. So we're fine.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm going to use my words carefully.
Are you one of these people that's a bit frustrated at this international break coming around?
I think the last couple, the biggest Scotland fan out there, when the games actually come around, I'll be sitting Friday. Well, I actually won't because I'm telling a lie, I'm going to a concert. But
of course he is.
Usually,
not like him.
Usually, you watch more live music than anybody I know.
I'm going to a concert on Friday night, but usually I'm sitting the biggest Scotland fan. But yeah, just it always, you know, the domestic league seems to be getting into flow.
Yeah,
and then we have to sit and wait for the next one. But after this, the games are. I looked at Celtic's fixtures in particular. The games are coming thick and fast right after this, right through to the new year, so that will be good. But yeah, it's just one of the ones that's it's in the calendar, and I think a lot of fans out there get a wee bit frustrated because it's very stop start up until this point of the season.
Gives them something to moan about though, doesn't it? People coming on moaning about the national team. Although I do think after this current international break, people will be a lot more positive because we're going to get 4 points. But no, I'm the same.
Did you say we there?
Yeah,
I'm really impressed.
I hate that.
I like that.
England got Greece, so you know, I know what happened against Greece last time, so I'm back to being Scottish again. but in terms of like club football, like you said, it being stopped, obviously being a Hibs fan, I want it to carry on because like you said, it's just getting into the thick of it now. Yeah. I think it's the third, is it third international break we've had? Yeah.
Third already.
They do September, October, November, don't they?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it has been a bit frustrating. I'm sure, you know, club fans are like that as well.
All right, let's bring in Billy, who's on the line. How are you, Billy?
How you doing, Gordon? I'm really good.
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
First of all, my apologies to Marvin for what I'm about to say.
No,
I'm not slagging him off. It's all right. But I heard at the weekend that Kilmarnock is going to extend their plastic pitch along with Falkirk if they come up. Which I think they will. And if Livingston get promoted, then there's another plastic pitch. Is this really good for the SPL? Because I think, you know what I mean? I really don't think this is good for the SPL. I know it's an old topic.
I think there was a time when I would have got, it must be the international break, we're arguing about plastic pitches, but I suppose it has come round again. Because if you remember the sort of timeline here is Premiership clubs did vote, was that the summer, end of last season, in favour of banning the use of artificial pitches in the top flight to be phased out by 2026. Kilmarnock announced they were going to move to grass. There were then, I've not seen confirmation of this, but there was a newspaper report maybe last week that that's going to be delayed a year.
Right.
And there's another story doing the rounds that the other, you know, some of the other clubs like Falkirk's, etc., going to launch like a legal challenge against that, that ban. And then, as Billy says, right now, as things stand, we could be in a scenario where Falkirk come up and Livy come up. Oh, imagine Livy came up and Hibs went down. How would you feel about that?
No, I wouldn't be happy at all.
Anyway, so enough of that. Just caught my eye, the thought of your two clubs swapping places. But the serious point Billy makes, where are we on that?
Listen, I get people's frustration when it comes to Astro pitches. Falkirk's Astro pitch is actually new and it plays really, really well. So I'll always say, listen, if it's a good grass pitch against a good Astro, good grass pitch all day long. But if a team's saying that they're unable to maintain that to a good standard, you know, I think the Astro has to be relatively new, Gordon. I think the problem comes where you're looking at them, Kilmarnock's now, Livingston, you know, in their last season, they're not the best of Astros at all. And it's difficult to watch sometimes when these games are being broadcast live. But as I said, you know, I don't know if Billy's seen Falkirk's. It's a new one, kind of like Airdrie's as well. And they're good quality AstroTurfs.
Yeah, so it's Falkirk, Livy, Raith, Hamilton, Airdrie, Cove and Queen of the South. It's like Marvin's Wikipedia page, that. They're the ones that are prepared to sort of launch this legal bid. That was the story last week. Falkirk have been very clear on it, I think, wanting to challenge those plans. What do you think, Billy? Is it, you understand the reasons clubs do it, but you think it's just at the top flight level it shouldn't be allowed, or what?
Well, no, I just think top flight, it should be grass pitches. You know what I mean? I mean, like Celtic, Aberdeen, Rangers, and any other, the ones that finish in Europe, are playing on grass surfaces all the time, and then they've gone down and then playing on this AstroTurf, which is, and I've seen it happening before with injuries, and you know, I'm not making excuses and saying, you know, because Brendan Rodgers said the other day, last May they won 4-0 and won the league, so even if they won, even if they lost last week, which they didn't, he wasn't making issues, but there must be some defect against it. You know what I mean?
I think going down, I think even just going down the injury roads, a kind of difficult one until someone can categorically say, "Here you are. This is your percentage chance versus this."
I think the game's just so, the game is different.
Like I say, I think it's more, it's maybe more a, maybe it is a marketing thing, the way it looks to the eye, the way the games play.
I think the game's a bit different. I take what Marv's saying there about better artificial pitches out there. I've not been at the Falkirk one, so I can't really speak about it. I was sitting watching the Kilmarnock game at the weekend, and somebody's saying, but he's training on it and the players train on it, and yes they do, and of course they try to prepare as much as they can, but the game's just different. The ball check's different, it bounces different, it sometimes slows the game down, it's just different. If I had a choice, it would be grass all day to play football matches.
Having said that, back to that thing then that we've had before, because you're saying Falkirk's is good, and it is, and I've seen it. Would you rather have that than a bad grass pitch?
Yeah, definitely rather have, Falkirk's and a bad grass pitch.
Because that then becomes part of it. It's not just about picking one or the other. I think if you remember right, that story at the, when it came out, was talking about, was it, you know, talking about a sort of
Dundee's pitch,
no? No, when they voted to ban artificial surfaces, talking about using some sort of pitch consultancy firm to improve the standards of the grass pitches, because you can't have that. You can't have that you're banned from using artificial surface, but then you can have whatever you want, as long as it's made of grass. But it's, you know,
But Billy's talking about the league as a product as well, wasn't he? So obviously you would want the grass pitches being.
But you made a good point though. What about the Dundee one? Watching games on that, which is full of sand.
But again, that's the whole point. This was off the back of that.
Get level, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. As you say about the plastic pitches there, the Falkirk one might play well, but I just, speaking in general from experience, it's a different game, isn't it? A little bit. It's just different on Astro.
But in terms of, say, that, you know, Falkirk and the other clubs then who are not, you've been there, you've been at Livy, it's for a reason, it's not for a laugh. You know, there's a community aspect, there's a financial aspect. What's that like?
Yeah, there's a definite financial aspect, as you said, and like the community can come in and use it in the evening, so it allows everybody to, you know, go in and say, listen, I'm playing on Livy's pitch or Falkirk's pitch, whatever it might be. It will have a massive, massive impact on local communities. That's something else you have to think about as well. But also, like say, where do they train? Because, you know, Livingston and Kilmarnock, like say, they train on their pitch at this moment in time, which will save them a fortune.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? Killy are meant to be getting a new training facility, and that's why the pitch was going to go to grass.
Yeah. But like say, being at Livy, we trained on it. We were on that every single day. So where they would find the money to, one, turn their pitch to grass, and two, also to find facilities to then train on, it's a massive expense to those football clubs.
And is that, you know, is that part of the issue then? Clearly, if we're talking about this legal challenge, what can the league do, or you know, distribution of funds or whatever, so that if you get promoted, then
you're some sort of support. But that's a difficult thing, Gordon, isn't it? Because when you got this voting system and something's voted in, then all of a sudden, if you don't like the outcome of that, then we'll just challenge it legally. Then it's probably pointless even having the voting system in the first place if you know, you can go down a legal route and get around it. But no, I think clubs coming up who have Astro pitch need to be supported more because, as I said, you know, you're going to come up and not be competitive. If you have to spend X amount of money on getting a grass pitch and then getting the training facilities, how are you going to improve your squad alongside that as well?
Then it's going to come to a head then, isn't it? Because, like we said, there's just a scenario staring you in the face where if you had your last pound in a Cash for Kids bet, you would put it on Falkirk coming up, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're spearheading this legal challenge.
It looks that way.
As we said, Livy are certainly in that mix. And if the report, you know, Kilmarnock not making the change as quickly as they were going to,
all of a sudden
you're back. You know, we had Hamilton Livy. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch. Thanks to Billy for raising it on 01419511025. What's on your mind tonight? Is it that? Like I say, that's the beauty of it being a kind of quieter midweek. Sometimes a caller mentions something and off we go and debate it until our hearts are content. So pick up the phone and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are in the building, so why not give them a call? Let them know what you're thinking tonight, whatever it is. 0141 951 1025. Or as always, you're more than welcome to tweet the guys at Clyde SSB, but it goes without saying we prefer that old school way. Give us a shout on the phones and join in with us this Wednesday night as we move towards the nitty gritty of the international break. Not quite here yet, the game on Friday, so we hear from Steve Clark tomorrow. Really crank up the build up, but we can do the early stages of that tonight if you wish, or if there's something different that you want to share with us, now is the time and the place. Same number as always, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. I think Keith is trying to get through, is he? We're going to bring in Keith in just a second. Still waiting for you Hibs fans if you want to get in touch and take anything up with Marvin Bartley. He seems stressed about the full thing. If you want, he's worried. He's a big warrior, I have to say. So if you want to have some therapy with Marvin, you're more than welcome. Keith's in East Kilbride. How are you, Keith?
Hi there. No, it's just you were talking earlier, you touched on East Kilbride.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the pyramid system. The nonsense. East Kilbride won the league last year. They've then got to go to a playoff of the Highland League, which at the very last minute get cancelled because they didn't have their bronze licence, whatever it is. Get taken off them. But this year, if they win the league, it's four games to try and get, after winning the league, they've again got to try another four games to try and come up. Followed on to that, now Bonnie Rigrosa have just received a 6-point deduction because of their bronze licence carry on, because their pitch isn't level. The whole SPFL pyramid system is just a whole nonsense. That's my...
Did you see that story last night? Bonnie Rigrosa's 6-point deduction
briefly,
because there's a slope
on the slope on the pitch.
On the pitch. Yeah. They've launched a fundraising campaign to pay for the works. There was some disciplinary tribunal because of the pitch's gradient. So they had their licence.
Have you been there?
I haven't.
It's
I
a don't think serious, no, is it? Serious slope.
It just sounds like, though, it just, I think to everyone, to sort of fair-minded fans, everyone who just look at it, it just feels harsh. It seems harsh.
Well, it must have been accepted at one point, and then they've now decided.
So it's a hill.
Is it?
Oh mate,
so you're dancing. You're too sympathetic.
I wouldn't like playing one half.
So, Keith, have you got more? If you're talking about pyramid and all that sort of stuff, you got more sort of sympathy for teams who use plastic pitches. You think that's fine? That's okay.
Yeah, it's what you guys said earlier on. You know, there's various degrees of grass pitches that are poor. Then it's the guy said themselves, they'd rather play in a good plastic than a poor grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And East Kilbride's pitch is good. You know what I mean? But they're hoping once, we're hoping we can go up and we can, you know, get a new stadium, grass. We kind of commit to that. Having won the league, you're then going to play another four games before you can get promoted.
Would you go Astro OK even in the top flight?
Well, not at the top, but these guys wouldn't be in the top at first.
No, just generally, I mean, since, you know, kind of following on from what the guys were saying, generally.
That's a $6 million question, so that's above my pay grade.
What is in your pay grade? You sticking to the Lowland League?
Lower leagues, yes. At the moment, until we get that promotion, until we do away with this nonsense, you win the league and you kind of get promoted.
So the four games against the Highland League and then the second bottom, is that right?
Like there's a Turkey's voting for Christmas element to that, isn't
it? Similar to the what you find.
We always sort of say that. I get if I was in Keith's shoes, I'd feel exactly the same. You're trying to get the the bottom teams in the SPFL to make it easier for them to slip
out
of it.
Yeah, that's going to get voted in.
And that's not to say that Keith's wrong at all. It's just one of those things. And then that probably happens beneath that, you know, because I know that then there are teams probably frustrated at the way the Lowland League operates, mm-hmm, and then we're back to B teams and all that sort of stuff and getting invites and Scottish football, eh? Never disappoints you, the political side of it all. 01419511025. I love this, and he'll probably be annoyed I'm outing him for this and just sharing a private message, but I just thought this was really funny because Andrew McLean, our colleague who you'll hear at the weekends and at games and sits in this chair if I'm not here, he's just alerted me to the fact that, you know, Jason Manford, like, very well-known, famous comedian, has tweeted to say, match of the day, who would you like to see as the new host? One of these four or someone else? And he's got a vote of, like, the big names that you're hearing, mm-hmm, in relation to Mark Chapman, Alex Scott, etc. And his mum's friend has replied saying, Ali McCoist or Andrew McLean from Clyde One. And I think Andrew's top at what he does, don't get me wrong, but I think he would concede. It seems like quite a big step. Now, Jason Manford has quote tweeted it saying, I don't know much about Andrew, but Ali McCoist is an excellent punter. So good.
So has he got a chance or what?
I think
his name will be linked shortly.
It's enough to get him in the betting list, surely. Now
we're going to link you.
That's the way.
Yeah, I'm going to put a vote up on
just to get rid of him, huh?
No,
delightful.
Unless you can come, that's not
right. Imagine you, man.
That should elude it.
Shugster.
Past his bedtime, though, that would be a real issue. Don't know how that would work.
And even though it's highlights, as soon as a team equalises, said they're definitely going to win and they're going to lose.
Even though we've seen the game earlier.
Exactly.
He was in good form with that stuff at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, really?
At one point, Kilmarnock were guaranteed to score, I think, right? Was the phrase on Sunday. Guaranteed. He said,
two-footed.
Anyway, he likes to get in two-footed. Yeah. Here. Anyway, 01419511025. That's the number. I say it often enough, even though Gordon Dale couldn't remember it last night. John is on the line. How are you, John?
How you doing, Marv?
What up, mate?
Hi, John.
All good here. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm wanting to see Celtic. I know there's talk again about Celtic and Rangers looking at Lennon Miller. Well, Rangers have not got the finances for Lennon Miller, and we have. So I would love, there's been talk I've seen this week that Celtic are going to $5.5 million and loan them back to Motherwell to the end of the season in January. So to me, it'll be a great signing for Celtic because Brendan Rodgers will bring this boy on, and I don't want one of these talents lost to Atley, like the fact that Barry Ferguson's nephew and that, etc. So I think he would come on a ton under Brendan Rodgers. I just want to know what the guys think.
I saw this doing the sort of social media rounds last night. It doesn't seem to have gone further than that. That's not to say that it's wrong. That's something you can see happening.
I think Celtic will definitely be interested in him. You know, he's came onto the scene. He's done extremely well. You know, under 21 games as well. People calling for him to be in the A squad. Showing how good his attitude is by saying he wants to go and play with Scotland under 19s. When, you know, many players could have thought I was past that because they're playing in the Premier League as well. I think the important thing for Lennon, he needs to keep on playing.
Yeah.
And I think that will be the only problem in terms of, I know John's saying he'll be loaned back to Motherwell for the rest of this season, but next season, what's going to happen? Because he needs to be in and he needs to be playing games. And I just don't think he'll get that week in, week out at Celtic at this moment in time. You know, unless they were to purchase him, it doesn't happen often. You know, they say, right, he stays at Motherwell for the next 18 months, but then there's no point. You better keep an eye on him and seeing what happens. So, yeah, I think Lennon, as a young man, want to keep playing games of football, wants to be in there week in, week out. I think he's coming on leaps and bounds at Motherwell. So, yeah, listen, Celtic, in terms of them being interested, 100%. I just don't know whether they'll move for him right now.
Yeah, I agree with Marv. He's a super talent, a young lad. I've watched him two or three times this season already, and I think he's got a good background there with his dad and stuff. I think he's quite grounded, and that helps. Mentality helps. But I agree with Marv. I think he needs to, for his development, he needs to still be playing. Now, that's not to say, I mean, you're speculating there that if Celtic were to buy him and let him play the season out with Motherwell, depending on how the kid develops, you know, if he keeps going at this rate, who's to say he wouldn't be good enough? But it's a really difficult part of the Celtic team to try and break into. As I say, I'm not ruling that out, but the important thing for the kid at the moment, my advice would be you need to still be playing football week in, week out, because he's developing at a great rate. it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, Motherwell won't be able to keep him much longer, you know, if he keeps improving at this.
Well, hang on the line, John, on that, the sort of latest official update, if you like, on that. We mentioned it at the top of the show, the new Motherwell chairman, Kirk McMillan, spoke for the first time. I did an interview with him that went on Sky Sports today. And here's what he had to say on Lennon Miller's future.
Lennon, he's done incredibly well since he came into the first team. Obviously, he's now captained the club over the last couple of matches. Did it at Hampden as well for the semi-final. I think ultimately, you know, it's about Lennon's growth journey, and, you know, we want him to stay at Motherwell as long as possible. You know, it's great watching him every Saturday. He gets supporters excited, and people really, you know, are excited to engage with him and his journey in football. There may come a time where Lennon decides, you know, I want to try something new in another environment, but ultimately we want to make his time at Motherwell as successful as it can be. And that is who we are as a football club, and that will be the same for Lennon as it will be, hopefully, for players in the future as well.
So you think that day's very soon? You don't think that day is further down the line?
No, in terms of him leaving?
No, I don't think it's too far off. If he keeps playing the way he is.
But I think if Lennon is to leave and no one's guaranteed to play games of football, he'll want to go into an environment where he's got that opportunity of playing. I think you look at Celtic's midfield, it is the strongest part of that team. You know, you've seen Luke McCowan, how well he does. Bernardo, those sorts of players aren't getting in at this moment in time. Do you know what? I'll throw this out there. I wouldn't be surprised, Si, if he signed an extension to his current contract, and then, because what is he, 18 years of age? You know, if he gets another two seasons under his belt and then you're at 20, you're totally on a different place altogether.
Seriously? Yeah. Stay at Motherwell that long?
I could see him signing.
McMillan gets his wish.
Yeah, I could see him signing, I could say, a one-year extension to his contract, for example, and then getting another couple of seasons under his belt, or this one and another.
See if it's on that. Like, educate me a bit about how contracts work, because to the layman, obviously, you would... You know, it's not really in the player's interest to then sign, you know, a new deal and make it harder, so to speak, for clubs to come and get you. However, do you get such a thing as a certain level of talent that actually you're so confident that a club is going to come and take you whatever the price is that, you do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you'd sign the new deal anyway.
There'll be things put in the contract, for example, a minimum fee. If that's hit, he's able to go. I've seen players, you know, who sign extensions to their contracts when, you know, if they then leave the football club, they get 10% of the overall package as well. Yeah. So there'll be incentives in there for him. But the biggest incentive for him is playing games of football. He's being watched and he's being linked to all these other clubs because he's playing week in, week out. You know, there were boys I know, I was speaking to an agent the other day when Lennon was like 14 or 15. He was in Scotland playing with another guy who's, you know, was seen as being ahead of him. That player now is behind Lennon because Lennon's playing week in, week out. And unfortunately for this other young player, he's not playing. So, you know, you can go from that development, as Simon's saying, by playing week in, week out, to all of a sudden you stagnate because you're not getting those opportunities, you're not getting onto the pitch. So, you know, Lennon's got plenty of time. There's no doubt about it. He's going to go to, I believe, you know, the top of football, you know, replicate maybe what John McGinn's done. But
John,
he can take
John
his
on
time.
The line says doesn't want him lost to Italian football. And I kind of know what John means, just because he's talking about from through his lens. But I wonder if just things have changed a bit. I wonder if young players' priorities are...
I think it has.
I'm a bit different. Yeah. We're Celtic and Rangers, and then even certain elements of England just don't become the sort of be all and end all.
Yeah, in recent times, I know it's a little bit different because your McTominay's and Ferguson's, as John spoke about, are maybe a wee bit, well, they are more mature, more developed in their careers, moving to foreign countries. This lad's 18, 19, just starting out, but I certainly think if he keeps on this plane of improvement, you know, Motherwell will do well to keep him. I don't disagree with what Marv is saying. If it's 2 years down the line and he's still excelling at Motherwell, it's good for his development. He's playing week in, week out. He's gaining experience. But I just think if he keeps playing at the level he's playing at just now, something will happen before then.
Final word to you, John. I mean, are you talking like imminent? You think then January, that's what you want to see happen?
I would love to see the wizards get them. I know, obviously, as Marv and Simon says, that's the strongest part of Celtic now. But obviously, guys like McGregor, I mean, they're obviously going to have a couple of years left in them, but maybe guys like Hatate will be leaving, etc. But I just think, as I say, Brendan Rodgers obviously has got a good background in bringing young kids on. And if he just, obviously, my priority is for Celtic, but I think he would improve him for Scotland too. So I think it'd be great if we got him, you know what I mean? And as I say, keep the money in Scottish football.
Okay, thank you very much to John. Good time to give us a call. We're going to pause for breath and you can get your calls in. We'll speak to you after I tell you about this. Christmas, cash, home.
Countdown. Win £300,000.
What would you do with £300,000? Just think how many watches that tell you the right time to get you to your work at an appropriate hour Marvin Bartley could buy. Simon Donnelly
could be a chauffeur.
Could buy a new calf ahead of the Masters tomorrow.
Two new legs.
I don't know what's the going rate on the black market, but if we make it a bit more serious for a second, £300,000. The Christmas cash countdown, it could be in your bank, ready to spend this weekend, but only, obviously, if you enter. So make sure you text yes to 61025. Text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo network competition are on our website. The lines close 5pm on Friday. We're edging towards that. Do not miss out just because you left it too long. It couldn't really be much simpler. It's not one of those phrases to remember. You don't need to pick up within a certain amount of rings. Just answer the phone and the £300,000 would be yours, straight into your bank account after the call. And it's a guaranteed winner as well. Someone will win the lot. Why not make sure you've got a chance of that person being you? Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here on 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get in touch, let us know what you're thinking. Honestly, sometimes during the international break, the show can go any direction that you want it to. This, I think it was about this time last night. Did you hear it?
No.
The guy phoned in on his way to the hospital.
No.
No.
He was just going back.
Was he all right?
Newborn son.
All right.
Just going back to see him. Didn't have a name. So he.
And he was looking for advice.
Whose birthday was it yesterday?
Shock. Not you.
So we got into like a genuine serious position here where we thought we could get this baby named Hugh because it was his birthday. And it's gone, oh, honestly, arms and legs. It got a great feedback on social media. And Hugh, and then I have to say, Craig,
Kevin's,
who it was, he then tweeted me late last night to say that they thought about it. It came really close, but they settled for Jack. And thanks for giving me a great wee story to tell him in a few years. And a
class.
Picture of Jack. So congratulations again to you all. We've actually put quite a funny video of that whole exchange up on our social media.
Could have used it as a middle
platforms.
Name. Could have been a middle
exactly.
Name.
I did suggest that. But yeah, get it on. Get on the social media channels. You'll see the video. You've got a dog, don't you?
I've got two dogs.
What are your dogs called?
Gus and McGregor.
Right, close, because we were having a bit of a pop at dogs with like inordinately human names last night, because somebody said that their dog was called Gary on the back of this, and we just
I like that. I like calling Gary in the
nonsense.
Gary.
Yeah, no, I'm with Gordon. I'm with you on that. There's a dog called Nelly round my way as well, and one called Tom. I'm like, Tom!
What's going on? Like, Tom, listen, to be fair, this is my fault. I'm sorry. One night on that was bad enough. We won't do two. Malcolm is on the line. How are you, Malcolm?
Good evening. I'm fine. Yourself?
Not bad. Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm just carrying on the plastic pitch thing.
Oh, go on then.
If you look at Kilmarnock's stats the last year, I think they played 13 home games in the league. Won 10, lost only 3, but their away form, they lost the opposite to that, Ken. So the win at home ratio is up about 80% to 25%. So if you're not saying that's an unfair advantage, before you get off the level playing field, as we say, we will not put Bonnie Rig Rose into that. It's an unfair advantage for a start.
What do you mean, like, unfair advantage though? Because unfair would surely be more like if they were allowed that pitch but other teams weren't. Other teams can just put that pitch down if you want.
It's surely unfair if they're training it every day and nobody else is training it. It's got to be unfair. You can see the way the ball bounces. Some of that long balls came for hammer throwers up front. They would normally carry out a play. It stops dead, it bounces back, it bounces sideways. And how can I say that? Akin, you said earlier on about the percentage of when you get somebody to do the starts about getting injured and stuff like that. People are fear to play in that part. They're fear to put in a challenge.
Oh, listen, I don't doubt there's like anecdotal stuff. I just mean, if that's the case that is going to see plastic pitches banned, that is going to have to be backed up with some incredible stats and official FIFA-driven stuff, probably. You know, that's what I mean. I know we've all got our theories, and my goodness, even at whatever. In fact, I don't know last time I played football, but even me, you know, you do feel a bit sorer the next day or whatever. Yeah. So I'm not doubting that, but I just mean it would need to be something official. I just wonder if Malcolm's conflating two things. Does it bounce different? Yes. Does it play different? Yes. Does that mean it's an unfair advantage? Did you ever feel that when you when you're at Liffey?
No, Bill, you go. You played it. No, I'm just in the lead up. Say talking about Celtic the weekend. In the lead up to that, I'd imagine all Celtic's training would have been on the plastic pitch. No.
To be fair,
I think they changed it to one day. Yeah,
it's one day because well, they played
a little bit of feel before the day before.
Played in Europe, kind of thing. So you don't really have the chance. True. Celtic played in Europe, so it's one day.
You would they have the opportunity to practice on it though and prepare on it.
Then people say, but no two pitches, no two plastic pitches are the same.
I know, and then you would also put in the argument that I think Rodgers took Carter Vickers out. He didn't think that would suit him, that surface. Certainly, maybe not at the weekend there, but previous times. But then you could argue with Malcolm's stats there about home advantage, and you look at the percentage of what I think you could go across the board. I think most.
That was labelled when we were at Livingston, that was labelled at us in terms of having that. And there was actually a season where we were awful. We won more of our games on grass than we did on AstroTurf. In terms of what you guys are saying, in terms of how your body feels after it, I'll tell you something now, and this is the truth. As I got used to that pitch playing on it with Livingston, my recovery was quicker on AstroTurf than it was on grass. And I had the same conversation this summer with Paul Hanlon and Louis Stevenson because they were going from Hibs and they were talking about it. And I said, the first maybe month, 6 weeks, you're sore. You really are sore. But after that...
That's after that, right, okay.
Your recovery is so much quicker in terms of playing on AstroTurf.
Especially if you play... I can take... When I went down the leagues, when I was playing with Partick, and you're playing in lesser pitches and heavier pitches, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It took me longer to recover from them than... You know, if I was training or playing on Astro. There's little bits of it, but I just think the game, as I said earlier on, the game is different, and ideally, you would have grass.
I think that is, you know, that's just personal opinion, that's fine, but Malcolm thinks it's an unfair advantage. I wonder if you'd go that far.
No, it's an advantage because you train on it, but it's not an unfair advantage. I wouldn't say that. You know, because at the end of the day, you're still playing 11v11, you're playing a game of football. Do you have an advantage? Yes, but do Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, whoever else, do they have home advantage when they play at home? Of course they do. You know, so it's one of those things, but I wouldn't say it's an unfair advantage. No,
is it not just like any other home advantage, Malcolm?
No.
Whatever that may be.
No, a level playing field should be a level playing field.
But just quickly on that, even if it was though, you know, when you go to someone else's pitch, it doesn't. What do you mean level playing field? Because even if it was grass, it would be different dimensions. We're talking about some might have a slight slope and some might not be quite as well maintained. So it wouldn't be the same anyway.
No, but there's a vast contradiction for that pitch to any other pitch. Grass is grass. It plays. Some might play faster. Some might be watering there. But that pitch is an absolute disgrace. Even aesthetically pleasing, watching it on a television is a disgrace. Even that should be enough to ban it. Again, then you get Derek McInnes coming on after it, moaning like mad. Again, always. And Marvin, by the way, at Livingston that season, I was not one off. You're always terrible.
What did he say?
It wasn't a one off. You were always just terrible.
Oh.
I like it.
Malcolm.
No, I like that. I'm all here to tear to slag Marvin. Again, I think back to this notion of that sort of, you know, unfair. But I just don't know if you would go that far. And then the aesthetically pleasing or displeasing bit about it's a really interesting one because, by the way, firstly, so that we can be clear about this, Kelly fans or Falkirk, Hamilton, Livingston, why not call us right now and defend your pitches because you're getting a bit of stick here. So do that. That aside, what do we mean about that aesthetic? Is that enough for rules to be brought in? Because I think even the biggest defenders of it, of Kelly fans, whatever, who I've just welcomed on, so there's no agenda here, but I think we would all need to admit when you switch on the telly, it's like, oh, you know, if the sun's shining on it.
That's the worn down one, though. That's what I mean.
It's an old one.
So Falkirk's wouldn't look like that currently. I take that on board then. So does that maybe need to be...
I think the standard needs to be a lot higher in terms of if you're having an Astro pitch in the Premier League, it can't be as worn as some of the ones that we have seen in recent years. As I said, I keep referring to Falkirk because they're the highest placed team with a really good Astro. If you look at a Falkirk game, it doesn't look the same way as if you do look at, say, like a Killy game or like Livingston when they're in the Premier League as well.
Of course, some of the when you get into Europe, the Scandinavian teams, these pitches look better.
Yeah, they definitely do because, they're not only they're well-maintained, they're not used as much and they're not as worn down. When they become worn down, they don't look great at all. Okay. I agree with that.
Thank you, Malcolm. 01419511025. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. A chance to humiliate Marvin Bartley or Simon Donnelly. I'll tell you what, you've got a real rival for the master of the ugly win.
Who?
Cammy Bell.
Is that right?
What was the script last night again?
Were you on last week with me and had the really disgusting
2-1 or whatever 2-1. It was, yeah.
So I think he got like a 1-0. Like it was like a 1-0 or he, no, it was I think it was maybe it was a 1-1. That was it. And the only question he got right was who came before Gary Lineker at hosting match of the day? Des Lynam. That's the only one he got. One each.
Went you had to, me thinking there.
Went to a tiebreaker. No, they were both miles off it. And he was just slightly he closer. Oh, it was terrible.
I took that stick last week off my brother-in-law.
No wonder.
The Coon one.
Yeah. 01419511025. The lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, it's one of those nights where there's nothing like breaking hot off the press, and sometimes it's just up to you, and then it goes from there. Plastic pitches, people are moaning about them, and we're back. We're up and running with a fully blown debate on it. If you want to keep it going, you can do. We heard from Motherwell's new chairman. Really interesting story, by the way. 33, much younger than.
Why are you looking at me again?
Well, he's even younger than me.
I was impressed. A little bit of your interview, I thought. Yeah, he spoke well.
And the kind of news line out of that, aside from the story, and which is an interesting one, is this notion that trying to keep Lennon Miller as long as possible. We had some calls on what his next destination may be. You could talk anything else. I know lots of you have been getting involved in social media, talking about young players coming through and that sort of thing, which was maybe actually linked to that previous point. Whatever you've got for us, give us a call right now. It's a really good time to do so because we could get you on after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Connor is in Aberdeen. How are you, Connor?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Connor, you're the perfect... What are you pointing at?
I was just going to say, bring the ball up tomorrow.
See if you think that wasn't where I was heading with this. Connor, you're the perfect demographic for this. You're a Celtic fan. You are in Aberdeen. What are you doing tomorrow night?
Well, hopefully cheering Simon on to a Celtic victory.
Hopefully, Connor.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Get yourself down. Is it the P&J Arena it you is, call yes, it? In is, Aberdeen. Yeah, the is. Masters is on. And this guy, Simon Donnelly, is the, what do we reckon, second oldest player in the competition?
I think.
Are you?
I think, yeah, I think. I've,
he's older than you?
Ian Jess.
Oh. Credit to you. You do, you keep yourself fit. I know we give you a hard time.
Well, great. We'll see tomorrow, but yeah, Jesse just beats me.
So, you looking forward to it?
I am actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Competitive edge will be there. It's just the body now, if it holds up.
Hopefully not.
How gutted would you be? What's he laughing at? Imagine being part of a team that played in it last year and didn't even get an invite.
Exactly, and we lifted the trophy, so he should,
he did actually.
He should show a little bit of respect.
Who's in the worst boat? We can vote on this on social media. Who's in the worst boat out of the Super Scoreboard pundits, right? Marvin Bartley, who played last year and his team didn't get invited back. Or Mark Wilson, who played last year as part of the winning team and has then been transferred to Dundee United instead.
Simon picked the teams as well.
No, I didn't.
That's poor.
I think Willow might have chose that.
Did he not contribute enough?
I don't know. No, he played well.
Who was your worst player last season?
Him.
Probably me.
No, Mark. It must have been. That's why he's been kicked out.
Mark scored against Rangers in one of the games last year.
Must have missed that. I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow though, in here. Can you just imagine the chaos on here tomorrow night? Me and Gordon DL, whilst on that TV, Mark Wilson's playing at the Masters.
He's playing in the first game.
Can you honestly imagine?
Celtic United in the first, this is the first
game. This will be like Christmas
be
Eve
class.
For Gordon DL.
That is going to be
He'll
class.
Be besides himself. Anyway, Connor, we'll talk football once we've quizzed you. So if it's heads, you will take on Simon Donnelly, who you will see tomorrow. And if it's tails, it will be Marvin Bartley. See, no such problems on other nights. It is possible that tails happens. Marvin up against...
Good luck, Connor.
Connor.
Here's well, Marvin. Cheers.
Right, what we're going to do here is give Marvin some greatest hits radio to listen to, something nice and loud, and that way he can't hear what's going on in here. Are you ready, Connor?
Yep.
You'll know the drill, I'm sure. 30 seconds, answer the questions. You're fine to pass. If that's the route you want to go down, you take it, okay?
Okay.
Right, your 30 seconds starts now. Who do Celtic women play in the Champions League tonight?
Pass.
Which SPFL team have been deducted 6 points for a sloped pitch?
Alba.
Motherwell's Tawande Maswanisi is on international duty with which country?
Senegal.
Name any former Rangers manager who has a statue outside Ibrox.
Walter Smith.
What Celtic manager signed Paolo Di Canio?
Wim Jansen.
The Honest Men play at which ground?
Somerset Park.
Spell Casanueiro, the Rangers defender. You've pass. Got time. No, you've got time to pick a pass. Just try it.
C-A-S-L.
No, it's fine. Let's leave it there. Let's bring back Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us, Marvin?
What a tune, by the way.
Whitney.
Brilliant. Oh, man.
Brilliant. A bit of you, is it?
It was class.
What one?
Brilliant.
I want to dance with somebody.
I want to dance with Jim Duffy. No, see, it's someone I've told, I keep, every time I hear that song, someone told me the Morton fans used to sing that.
I want to dance with Jim Duffy.
And that is the best. I just can't get it out of my head.
That's great.
Because it's genius.
That's class.
Dance with Jim Duffy. Did you hear him last week on here? What night was that? He was, you know, because sometimes he's away chauffeuring these days.
Yeah.
He'll come and join us. But he kept it quiet until I read it in the paper that he spent 3 days. This is you, you're a kind of 90s, you're a bit older than me, but kind of 90s. He spent 3 days chauffeuring around Triple H.
No way.
Seriously.
Wrestler.
That's Jim class.
Duffy. Triple H, the second hardest man in that car behind Jim Duffy. But seriously.
What was Triple H over there?
What are you doing? Well, he's like
the gaffer now, isn't he? Of the whole wrestling
thing. Yeah, right.
So he was over here and Jim was just driving about
That's
3 days.
By the way.
Paul, he calls him, of course. Well, you only call him Triple, would you?
But has he got a selfie? Did he
get
one?
I don't think that's really Jim's style.
No.
But he's security guarding him, taking him for sushi, taking him to like everywhere he needed to go.
Class.
Brilliant. And he comes
Big
and
gym,
slums
man.
It with us sometimes. Right, Marvin, are you ready?
Yep.
Same set of questions, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who do Celtic women play in the Champions League tonight?
Chelsea.
Which SPFL team have been deducted 6 points for a sloped pitch?
Bonnyrigg Rose.
Motherwell's Tawande Maswanisi is away on international duty with which team? Which country?
Zimbabwe.
Name any former Rangers manager who has a statue outside Ibrox.
Walter Smith.
Which Celtic manager signed Paolo Di Canio?
Strachan.
The Honest Men play at which ground?
Pass.
Spell Casanueiro.
K-A-S-W.
No.
K-A-S-A-M.
I'll put you in the misery. Connor, how do you think it went?
I'm not sure. I think maybe it just done there.
Let's find out. Celtic. I mean, you passed a fair few, Connor. I know you're like Simon Donnelly tomorrow at the Masters. Give it, get it, and give it away to somebody straight away. Just give it to somebody who runs more.
Let the ball do the work.
Celtic play Chelsea tonight in the Women's Champions League, and good luck to them. We can't be far away. It's at 8 o'clock kickoff. I think we had Kelsey Doherty, the Celtic goalkeeper, on the show last night, previewing that one, so you can listen back. 1-0 Marvin. Bonnyrigg Rose with the sloped pitch. What are the chances? Because
that just
came up earlier. I mean, if I was in any way professional, I would have checked the questions previously, but I didn't. I didn't know that was going to be on there. So 2-0 to Marvin. I have to say, Connor, this is where I feared for you, because he's pulled this out of the bag. Tawande Maswanisi is Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
Wonderful from you.
Do you know what? Because I saw, this is so random, but Peter in Love, who used to play for Zimbabwe, was actually speaking, or comparing two styles or something like that.
What chance you got, Connor? You got on the board with Walter Smith. John Gregg's also got a statue outside Ibrox. The Celtic manager that signed Paolo Di Canio was Tommy Burns.
Oh, he was.
I forgive
well.
You, you're miles off, but that's fine. So, Connor, nothing on the board there. The Honest Men, what did you say for that one, Connor?
Somerset Park.
Yeah, I thought you did, to be fair. Did you get that far? Did I miss that question out for you?
No, I passed.
You passed,
did you?
Yeah, because I looked at Cassie and Wiro, oh, didn't I?
And Cassie and Wiro, both of you got it wrong. I loved it. Connor went C. No.
Wait, is it? So it's K-A-S-I.
No.
No. A-N.
Can we can no, I just
can tell
you?
Tell us, yeah.
Then we'll just stop. Oh, cheers. K-A-S-A-N-W-I-R-J-O.
No, it's
<chance. laughs>
like a random letter, just pitch it right there in the end.
No,
just throw everybody off. So anyway, it was, I think that was a 4-2 win, maybe something like that, for Marvin
Bartley. I don't need to drop any.
He don't need to drop any balls sign off. Balls off. Mm. But nah, anyway, Connor, I don't know, you've probably got higher hopes for the actual team than the Masters version this season, but I don't mean, you never know, Simon might add a bit of glory there. Are you one of those that's cursing the international break coming along because Celtic were motoring, or do you like the break, or what's the feeling?
I think it's probably came the wrong time for us just now. Just the Kilmarnock game of the weekend there, even though it wasn't the best performance on the pitch, we managed to get 3 points. It's never easy getting down to Kilmarnock, especially on the plastic surface as well. And it seems to kind of be the team's fire on all cylinders. And we've obviously got the big Champions League game coming up against Club Bruges, and the club's kind of moving in the right direction. I think everything just seems to be kind of clicking at your place for us just now.
This is something that we're now seeing come to fruition, though. The Callum McGregor break, Simon. I wonder how important that is. Because in a different time, he's gone from knocking his pan in against RB Leipzig and going down onto the plastic that everyone keeps talking about tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, he's also come off the back of a cup semi-final and he's now going to go away to a Scotland camp where really could be doomed with a win.
Yeah.
And it's not really Steve Clarke's style to sort of hold players back. You know, if they need to play both games, they will. Mm-hmm. But here we go, feet up for at least a couple of days within that.
I know, I'm kind of mixed emotions with that because you're seeing the benefit for Celtic and I can understand his decision at the start of the season, but I still think he's one of our country's best midfielders, and he would play, so, and he would help Scotland, so it's mixed emotions. But I think the decision benefits Celtic. We've seen his performance last week in the Champions League. He scored 3 or 4 goals already this season. He's been at the top of his game.
4, so, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe even
so
more.
As much as I'd love to see him still pulling on the Scotland jersey, I understand his decision.
Yeah, from his personal point of view, I think it's brilliant. I think the season he's been absolutely fantastic again for Celtic. And this break, I think they'll come at the right time for him, not only physically, but mentally as well. You know, Simon will tell you, if you're travelling here, there and everywhere and having to play games on top of that, it can get tough. And all of a sudden you get to January, you feel like you've completed a whole season already. Well, I think he'll be chomping at the bit constantly to, you know,
so international
many
games break, so, coming up.
Yeah,
as well,
exactly. Massive games as well.
Unbelievable, eh?
Like every game is for Celtic. But I agree, listen, Scotland could do with him 100%, but, you know, his personal form has, I think, reaped the rewards so far of him, you know, retiring from international football.
I think we're actually seeing that, Connor, because people wondered in the at the start, we've not really got anything to go on. You think Celtic, you know, might be seeing the fruits of that decision?
Yeah, definitely can, because obviously it gives him that kind of well-earned rest. And even though Callum's just known for playing, it feels like 90 games a season, probably over the last 4 or 5 seasons, but he just seems to be someone that gives you 100% every single week. His quality always shines through in the park as well. And as I say, I think Celtic over the next probably 2 to 3 years will probably see the best out of him, because he's got that kind of rest period and kind of go again next week.
It's 5, by the way, 5 league goals for the season.
One of
the he's joint top scorer in the Premiership. It's a bit too early, right, to be worrying about who the top scorers are. But it's such a weird looking list because there's Papa Gay still there. He's not playing like 2 months. Callum McGregor, who again, with no disrespect, as wonderful as he is, you wouldn't expect him to be
up there.
So I don't, and then, you know, guys that you'd kind of bank on, like Hugo, I'm sure will continue to score, but he's not really doing it at that rate.
Yep.
Desser's kind of in the mix, obviously gets his critics. Usually James Tavernier's there or thereabouts, and so is Lauren Shanklin, but they're not.
They're
so, like I say, it's a bit early to be worrying about the race for it, if you like, Marvin. But
I don't think he'll take the top goal scorer, if that's what you're saying, Callum.
I wonder if he had 5 shots last season. I've never seen him shoot as much as this season.
It's funny because see 3 or 4 of his goals, they've all been this similar area. And there was one game, I can't remember who it was against, I'm thinking, did you not watch
the last game?
The last game.
Yeah, was it Hibs and then
I think he received it from a short set play, opened himself up.
Yeah.
It was almost identical. Four or 5.
Talking about Hibs not watching him. You know it was against Hibs he scored that
goal. Was it Hibs? Yeah. I didn't want to see that.
He knew. Sums him up as a person, Gordon. That's what I'm working with, mate.
But just to but just to send people who view football in a more old school manner into some sort of tailspin. Did you see the stuff about Brentford and XG of shooting from outside the box? Look at you, look at you.
I think I did,
early
actually.
90s man, you're going to be furious about this.
Then some,
so
the
talking
manager,
about, you know, the manager saying like, you know, ball work to the edge of the box, that one where the player goes to hit it and that's, you've got like a,
it's against Fulham,
you know, you've got a 1% chance of scoring from there, all of a sudden one pass into the box and that chance, you've now become five times more likely to score.
That was all before the game, wasn't it?
And when teams at that level are doing it, it's and sort of basing their decision making on that, it's quite hard to argue because they're pretty clever, especially Brentford, you know, the way their owner works with the analytics and the money ball stuff. But then again, to those of us who just like think football should be a bit more enjoyable than that, it's,
you see that game you're talking about? He spoke about it in the first half of the game. The Brentford lad, I forget who it was, had a strike outside the box and scored. They pulled him up, kind of.
Someone, so weird. Someone came on our pro license to speak about that. I can't remember the speaker's name now. And they were like, you know, when you see teams doing shooting practice, it's always from the edge of the box. But like what you said there, so many goals are scored from inside it. Yeah. Very rarely does someone score from outside it. But yeah, I'm the same as you, Gordon. You just want to enjoy it, mate.
Just bang in, just give it a go. See if we look back, just you were talking about Callum McGregor. I had a quick look over the last sort of five seasons.
Yeah.
Appearances in a season, club and country. 55, 53, 59, 64, 58. Bit of mind, he was injured last season as well.
Was,
he was a couple. And then the season with the face.
Yeah, with the injury. Mask, didn't he? Yeah.
He's so consistent.
But that number is outrageous.
It is,
high, isn't it?
But again, I think he's made his decision on the back of, like, he's not getting any younger, so he's wanting to get the most out of his career, obviously, at Celtic. As you say, he's not travelling with Scotland this particular week. He'll get his feet up, he'll refresh himself, re-energise, ready to go again. So I can understand the decision.
His body will be telling him as well, won't it? That,
yeah.
You know, you're getting to that point.
Well, last year,
as
Gordon says,
risk.
There, he's picked up a little injury last year that he's missed a few games, but in the last four or five seasons, he's been so consistent with his appearance levels. I just, there's a wee bit in me, the Scots, that I'd like to see him still in.
Yeah, it's difficult if you support both. Some people just care more about club football and then, you know, couldn't care less. I wonder how, you know, because we always do that, an international break comes around, see Keogh goes back in the Japan
squad.
Well,
that's just what I was about to say.
He's not been in it for ages.
So the three of them are in.
Yeah.
And it was the post, and then you kind of read the comments, and it was a Celtic fan said, "I'm delighted,
but I'm not.
But I wish they weren't going." great for the boys, but I wish they weren't going. Something like that.
I don't know what's, you know, if you're being glass half empty about that, what's, you know, what's kind of worse, if that's the right question, where Maeda goes, intends to play at least some minutes,
he's,
and then
superhuman,
and then that, yeah, I was going to say, or to anyone else, you might say that increases your chance of picking up a knock. Or the more sort of psychological bit where Hatate tends to go all that way and doesn't get any game time. And then does that play in you? Do you think that plants a seed about maybe trying to play your club football elsewhere? Do you know what I mean? Would that depend on the individual?
What
you think, right, the Japan manager's not interested in me?
I don't know. He's performed,
I suppose,
well,
he's interested enough to be in the squad, I suppose.
Champions League, and he's playing well in the Champions League. I would just worry about, obviously, the Japanese boys in particular, the length of travel that they're doing. It can't be great, but
that travel, I think, would be worse than not playing, by the way.
Yeah.
Knowing you're a pro and you're going those, like, really far trips, and if you didn't play,
you don't get game time at all.
You felt, what, your body feels worse, like, just doing that drive up. I know they're flying or whatever else, but travelling all that way, then coming back. Yeah, listen, Tati, I think I can imagine him playing after the form he's been
in this
season. I was
going to say, season. Yeah, he's been certainly.
If he doesn't play now, then he's
never,
got
never,
no chance.
Never thank you again to Connor, by the way, 01419511025. Give us a call, let us know what's on your mind right now, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly in the building, waiting for you to get in touch on 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SS. B, you got a full-time teaser thanks to Kieran in Jordan Hill. This is a topical one, I think, if we're talking about young players coming through and that sort of thing. Can you name seven teenagers who've scored in the Scottish Premiership in 2024? So this calendar year, not necessarily this season. Can you name seven teenagers to score a Premiership goal in 2024?
Lennon Miller.
Yep, quite easy one.
Wilson from Hearts.
I need a first name.
No, you don't.
Okay, James Wilson. Yes. Well done.
He's so annoying.
Just telling him the rules. Who's the lad at Gilly?
He's not Watson. Mm-hmm. He's like 22, isn't he?
No, David Watson.
How old's Watson?
He's about 18, 19.
Ah, well, Watson.
Yeah, well done. Okay. I'll leave it there. That's fine. That's enough for
you're thinking of Vassell, mate.
Come on.
Right.
3-4 to get.
01419511025 on the phones. From young players to old players, I mean, Simon Donnelly, you are in the Masters tomorrow. You did say we've got the squad list here. I'm going to bring in Andy in the phones in just a second. But Marvin, you and I have been casting our eye over this. How do you think, who's going to give Simon Donnelly the toughest time from the opposition players? On this list, I can see names like Jermaine Defoe on there. Who else would he be up against?
Barry Ferguson.
Yeah, maybe, yep.
I'd like that.
Mark Wilson won't cause you any issues.
Nah.
Danny Swanson kind of retired that long ago. Craig Conway.
Do you know what I'm going to say? John Rankin.
Oh, he's fit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You have a GPS Ranks, on as well.
Ranks is fit. We had him at Dundee United. I think I played against him towards the tail end of my career when he was a lot younger. I think he will be super fit.
Oh, Johnny Hayes.
Johnny Hayes, I played
with
him recently. Yeah, he's
so fit. Aberdeen, right? Rate these teams, Marvin. Aberdeen, Joe Lewis in goal. He must be the best goalie in terms of like the most recent. I don't know, retired a couple of months
we'll
ago.
With that.
Joe Lewis, Russell Anderson, Ian Jess, Kevin McNaughton, Derek Young, Johnny Hayes, Gavin Ray, and Lee Miller.
I'm going to say fourth.
Right, ooh. Rangers, Barry Ferguson, Chris Boyd, Lee McCulloch, Jermaine Defoe, Roy Carroll, Pedro Mendes, Graham Dorans, Nacho Novo.
Third.
Wow.
Oh, what? I'm surprised. That means you've either got Mark Wilson or Simon Donnelly winning. That's the only reason I'm surprised. Celtic, Petrov, Brown, Mulgrew, McGovern, O'Dea, Ledley, Donnelly, Hooper.
They're gonna win it, yeah. First.
He knows his football. He knows his football.
Gary Cooper's still playing as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Willow Flood, Craig Conway, Gary Kenneth, John Rankin, Paul Gallagher, Mark Wilson, Danny Swanson, John Daly.
I like that team.
Seriously?
Yeah, I do like that
Mark
team.
Wilson. Okay.
Plenty of energy with Mark and Ranks.
It's your tip notes to defender.
Crown.
Yeah, because you know why? Can I just quickly say this? I'm tipping you to defend your crown because I think you're going to pull your calf in the first game, which will help the team, and then they're going to win.
I won't be starting. Well, I think it'll be tight, but yeah. We've got a chance of defending it.
I'm looking forward to it greatly, I have to say.
Remember, not enough defenders in that Rangers team, by the way.
Neil Carpet last season kept coming up.
Carpet was horrendous. I hope they've sorted that out.
I hope they haven't.
I hope they've sorted that out. That was for one of your sleep tackles last year.
That carpet, yeah. That was health and safety issue all over it, by the way.
Absolutely. Very different venue anyway. Let's bring in Andy, who's in Motherwell. How are you, Andy?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you guys?
Not bad. What's made you call tonight?
I was actually coming back for getting my takeaway, and I was listening to the debate about unfair advantage with Tupperware pitches, plastic pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the unfair advantage is mostly financial. If you look at Motherwell, the team I support, they spend hundreds of thousands of pounds every year maintaining probably one of the best pitches in Scotland. At half-time, they've got a dozen ground staff out there, like all clubs do with grass pitches, maintaining the pitch, repairing divots, etc. These clubs like Hamilton, Livingston, Kilmarnock, they can hire their pitches out for weddings, birthday parties, bouncy castles. They can maintain it with a brush and a tractor. They don't have any ground staff to pay. They don't have any scientists to pay. I think that's where the disadvantage comes for clubs who have invested on proper traditional grass pitches.
But, I mean, I suppose the word disadvantage or unfair advantage, but is that not like sort of your, well, as long as the rules allow, your prerogative to use your budget whatever way you want? You know, it only becomes unfair if Motherwell aren't allowed to put that pitch down and Livy are.
Well, we've seen it last year with Dundee. They spent nothing on a bit of grass and called it a pitch, and they were able to spend money on 27 new signings, and they did well. They punched above their weight, and look at them this year. They go and spend money on a good pitch, and they've maybe not had the money to invest in players, and that's where the disadvantage comes from. Yeah, we could potentially go for a plastic pitch. I just don't think it's morally right for a Premier League team to be playing off a 4G or a 3G pitch.
Okay, that did come up with Dundee. That's one of the first times we've heard that argument played out publicly, if you like. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on that? Is it, it's just, like I say, as long as the parameters are there and they're followed, surely a team can do what they want with their budget within reason?
Yeah, no, exactly that. I think, you know, teams can spend their budget the best way they see fit. I get Andy's points, and listen, we said it earlier on in the show, if you're going to get a good grass pitch, then, you know, all day long you take that. But it's when the standard of those grass pitches begins to fall. I still don't believe that it's an unfair advantage for teams to have AstroTurf, because as you said there, Gordon, you know, other teams are allowed to do so. You know, if, I think if you ask Livingston and any other club that have got an Astro pitch, Kilmarnock, you know, if they can put down a good grass pitch and maintain it and still remain competitive, then they'll do it. I know that Livingston, in terms of, you know, what they do, spend their money, they can't afford to do that. And if they do do that, then Livingston, you know, won't remain in the Premier League if they were to come back up. So, listen, it's a difficult one. Again, watching games of football, I think it looks a lot better on a grass pitch or a new Astro pitch. I just think the standard of the Astro pitch, that's the big thing for me. I think the testing has to become more vigorous in terms of what passes and what doesn't.
I think Andy makes a fair point, though. obviously, the Fir Park hasn't always been like that. They've done fantastic work on it recently. But until it becomes a rule, as you say, that, you know, another team are gaining an unfair advantage if they're breaking some sort of rule, or the budget's there, you can spend it whatever way you want. But I do take his point. I would much prefer to be tuning in as a product to our league. You know, nice grass parks. You look far afield, and obviously the English Premiership, a lot more money than us, but it does bring something to it when you've got a nice plush grass pitch there, opposed to stuff like Rugby Park just now.
Motherwell are an interesting case, because it shows you that you don't need to be one of the financial superpowers to do it. But then, relatively speaking, for those similarly sized clubs, it was still expensive. You know, it was. And I guess it maybe just does depend what your priorities are. Are you trying to create this overall kind of better image, make your place look better, make it look better for TV? Would that help you attract players? I don't know if they knew that every second week it was a sort of guaranteed Bowling Green. I've seen the other cynical side, which says that it's rubbish when Celtic Rangers come to town, because you play into their hands and give them a nice Bowling Green to play on. But
I think it does, Gordon. I think it does help you attract players. And I'll be honest, and, you know, Simon can answer after. If I was, I don't know, a 22-year-old player and I had a Motherwell pitch, for example, or something that's like Kilmarnock's pitch or Livingston's pitch, I would sign for Motherwell all day long, or a team with that sort
of
pitch.
Would you?
Because of the pitch,
if the money was the same and all
that. Yeah, if the money's the same, everything was exactly the same. You know, teams in the same league, the money's exactly the same. I would sign on to play on a grass pitch. So for me as a player, coming towards the end of my career, I've already spoken about it. You know, the AstroTurf worked for me, but I wouldn't have done that, you know, if I could have chose not to, you know, from throughout my whole career.
I mean, it's weird that I quite enjoyed training on Astro throughout my career. And again, it clubs that were maybe of a stature that you didn't have your own. I mean, certainly when I was at Partick, we didn't have our own training facilities. You were sometimes, even when we were coaching, you were sometimes turning up on a Monday morning before you're preparing your session, not knowing where you're going.
Wow.
Which is incredible, I know. And it was the same when I was a player there at a stage. So I quite liked, we spoke about it in the break, when I was at Dunfermline, you knew you were going in, you knew where you were training, even though their surface at the time, if you think Rugby Park's bad, Dunfermline's at the time, it was
at Dunfermline?
It was
on that first one in the early 2000s.
But
were you there?
Yeah.
You're talking about the big squares.
You're talking about the Masters and that surface coming up. Oh, this curled at the corner.
Oh, wonderful. I remember it.
But there was a wee bit in me that I knew that I was going into train somewhere, and it was a constant. You weren't travelling here and everywhere, but that surface was left a lot to be desired. So I didn't mind training on it, but I just feel for games, it's got to be grass.
What about your own club, Andy? You've got a new 33-year-old chairman being appointed last week. He's been speaking today about, you know, trying to keep Lennon Miller for as long as possible. Lots of callers of other teams phoning in to hope that that's not the case. How do you feel about it?
I just want him to go and develop his, you know, to find his full potential. We've seen too many times in the past that players have gone to Motherwell and other Scottish clubs to the Old Firm, and, you know, they're not playing against the best teams every week, they're playing against lesser teams every week, and it kind of stifles their development. I'd like to see them move to maybe somewhere in the Championship or one of the Premier League teams take a punt on them, because it's not a gamble. The kids get an ability that's unquestionable. I wasn't his biggest fan a couple of seasons ago when he first broke on the scene, because I felt as if he was getting too much pressure and too much pitch time. I didn't think he was able to develop and play his own game. But this season, he's just been outstanding.
Yeah, I think it is important to pick that plan or that destination very accurately. You know, see so often just moves just don't suit players, and all of a sudden it's a long term contract, and it could just be anything. It could just be a manager changes. You know, you guys know more than me, but how sort of precarious it all is.
There's so many things to consider as a young player who is just making his way in the game. I think his dad represents him. I don't know if he's got a team behind him there, but there'll be so many questions, you know, that they'll want answered before he moves. I mean, I know what Andy's saying there about different things, but talk about Celtic for a minute. You'd be working with better players as well, which definitely enhances you. But for somebody who's just started at 18, 19, and he's playing in Motherwell's team week in, week out in senior football, that needs to, for him progressing, that needs to be a constant. You can't go back to being off the bench for the last 10 minutes. So it's a balance there where, you know, whoever's interested first and foremost, it's a balance to see where he goes next. And they'll want so many questions answered.
Ron is on a similar theme, is that right, Ron?
Exactly. Somebody just taking a wind at myself.
Not at all. You'll be better than whoever it was at it.
I'll tell you, it was a revelation to listen to somebody tonight to say, suggestion that, okay, Celtic, I'm a Celtic fan, and Celtic take on Lennon Miller, but they hand him back to Motherwell to let him develop rather than come into this conglomerate that they've got. How many players do they need? I know there's a big list of games coming forward, but the boy will never see the light of day, not in the first team. And how many players in the past have gone into other big teams in Scotland and just disappeared? Mm-hmm. They've disappeared off the face of the earth because they're not getting played.
But you think that is the case? Because if we're talking about, and I'm saying if, you know, I'll put my personal feelings on it to one side, if we're talking about someone who's as highly rated as he appears to be, would he never see the light of day? I know Celtic are good, but...
That's the thing that I always take... You take things into account, but see if this lad keeps progressing the way he is, who's to say that he won't be at a level? We don't know. We don't know. It's easy for us to sit here and go, he wouldn't get this game time because that midfield's strong or a team down south. Who's to say how quick this lad develops? I think he's got a super talent. It's an important step for his next one. If it was, as Ron's calling there about, you know, signing him and loaning him back, I think that would still help him because he'd be playing every week.
I wonder what the appetite from the other side is. This is not a criticism of Ron. We all look at things through our own lens, but I see lots of Celtic fans now saying, "You'll just buy him and loan him back to Motherwell." I mean, I know the assumption there is then Motherwell still get to benefit from his service, but things do become a bit weird then in those scenarios, don't they?
If a young kid goes through a kind of lean spell, he's not focused here.
I know you're getting money for it, but you are then developing him for someone else.
You might have your own Lennon Miller coming through, blocking their pathway.
I don't hold it against Celtic fans for thinking it's a good idea, but I just wonder if it would be. It's not going to be universally popular, that is it?
No, exactly that. And as Simon's saying there, you know, Lennon Miller could have three or four bad games in a row for Motherwell at this moment.
The Motherwell fans are then saying, this guy's chucked it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be here. And it puts pressure on him, you know, and probably the club at that point. So, listen, there's no doubt about it. If Motherwell can get money from him and take him back in with the form he's shown at the moment, with all his potential, they'll definitely do it. But I think the biggest thing for Lennon next is the pathway. That's all he'd be worried about, because everything else is going to come, you know, in terms of money and everything else like that, stature within the game. He just needs to keep playing games of football, because if he hadn't done that for the last year or 18 months, he wouldn't be where he is currently and wouldn't be rated as highly as he currently is either.
Ron, here's the deal. Sell Nicholas Coon for 30 million and give Motherwell half. Sound all right?
On your dreams.
Don't blame me. Last night we were Celtic fans on the phone.
You could sell Forrest.
He's at the end of his career now, isn't he? As good as he's been.
Sell Forrest, Mr. James Passback Forrest.
What's happened here? How's this turned into slaughtering James Forrest? It's taken a weird turn.
It's been a trumpet of mine for years.
I can see that. Poor James Forrest, who's done very little wrong this season's thing.
James.
Am I getting it in the neck? We had Celtic fans on last night going, I wonder if Nicholas Coon's the next one off the production line.
Well, his form's unbelievable. We're only what, 10, 11 games into the season. He's been incredible. And
how surprised have you been, or have you been surprised, I should say?
I've been pleasantly surprised at how good he's been, because, you know, last season we talk about him coming in, and then you take a wee step back yourself, and we're all guilty of it. Oh, he's not doing it straight away and kind of thing.
Were either of you on the night the Austrian journalist?
No, I don't think so.
Gave us the inside track and basically thought he wasn't going to be a good signing. I know the Celtic fans like to bring it up and send me it all the time, which is good, and it's funny and I like it because that's why we do it. But obviously, it's just the guy's opinion. He didn't think it was going to work. And no one ever chases us up the other way. See the guy who came on and said that. See the guy that phoned us in and said that Marco Tilio was going to be a superstar. Odin Thiago Holm would be a superstar. Mike Navrotsky would be a superstar. I don't ever get urged to call those guys back.
No.
I do jest ever so slightly, because it is funny, because he's turned into a really impressive
player.
He's
been excellent, but it's the same as on a different level. Lennon Miller's excelling at Motherwell, so he's got interest. Kuhn's now doing it. Not only domestically, but he's popped in with goals in the Champions League. There's going to always be interest.
Okay, thank you very much to Ron, 01419511025. Sorry to James Forrest if you're listening. I have no idea where it came from. But anyway, Kieran and Jordan Hill asked you to name the seven teenagers who've scored in the Premiership this year, not this season. James Wilson, Lennon Miller and David Watson.
There was a boy who scored, sorry, for Dundee United. He's on loan from Liverpool. Is that on the list? Dundee United scored against Hibs. No? Is he not that young? Is he not a teenager?
Do you know, that's a good point. He's not on the list, but I wonder if he should be, because Lucas Stevenson you're talking about. He must be that. Or is he 20? No, I thought he would be.
Have Motherwell got another one?
I'll give you a...
I'm sure there's another.
Oh, no, he's 21, Lucas Stevenson. There you go.
Is there another one from Motherwell, Gordon?
No.
No.
Are you thinking Ewan Wilson? Not scored.
No, okay.
Nope.
That's a great shame.
Struggling.
Any from like the weekend that's just passed or anything? No. Maybe. Good to see you're keeping up to speed and
there was
everything that's developing and going on.
Oh man,
I was out the country.
When is he ever? Were you seriously out the country again?
Again, aye.
Ridiculous.
just a couple of days in the
sunshine. He was spoken about on the show, that boy.
Yes, indeed he was.
Yeah. I listened to it.
Andy Halliday's player of the week or man of the week.
I was watching that as well, but
I'll leave it with you and we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls if you want as we move into the final part of the show next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Quick show this into the final part with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly on 01419511025. The teaser tonight from Kieran and Jordan Hill is, can you name the seven teenagers who've scored in the Premiership this year? Not this season, this year. And a quick reminder, a thanks again to Kieran. What he did there was got the thinking cap on, came up with a question, but then emailed it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. You got any on the teaser? So you've got James Wilson, Lennon Miller and David Watson.
The lad that scored for United, Sturton.
Owen Sturton, well done.
No, that's us.
Any from you, Simon? Any from you specifically, Simon?
You're beginning down that route and I try to think the lad's name.
Oh, so you know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Think out loud then.
He went to Millwall.
There you go, from Celtic to Millwall. That not helping you, Marvin?
No. I know who he is. I actually watched him play.
Hopeless you two. Really, genuinely, really poor that. So you know exactly who we're on about. You can't even think of his name.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Against Dundee, wasn't it that? Seven.
You're right. You probably worked the game.
Probably.
I did actually.
Think about it. Take yourself back to that co-commentary. That's a great goal from young. Just say it. Just say it out loud. No, great, brilliant. Any others? You've got three to get.
Three. What teams were that? Can we have that? Just a clue for that.
Aberdeen, Dundee.
Oh, Owen Beck.
Nope. Dundee's a.
He's still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Centre midfield number 10.
Oh, Lyle Cameron. No, that's Lyle Cameron you're thinking of. No. Okay, we'll get it before the end. I think sounds like I'll need to dish out some serious clues, which is a bit of a
like their names
a worry. Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's hear a bit from Craig Gordon. We are edging towards the international fixtures. The Hearts goalkeeper, I mean, he's surely going to be number one this weekend. He says he wants to keep pushing up the all-time record appearance table. He's currently tied with Alex McLeish on 77. So he's going to get two caps, isn't he? Unless something happens here, puts him on to 79. However, Andy Robertson is going to keep going as well. But anyway, if he gets the two this time, he'd go one behind Darren Fletcher, which would put him, and eventually Darren Fletcher's in third currently. So Craig Gordon's getting there. Bear in mind, this is a guy who, firstly, pretty much retired, and a guy who had to compete with David Marshall and Alan McGregor and others. So he wants to keep pushing up the list, he says.
It's great to be up at that end. Yeah, it's a huge achievement. It's a very difficult thing to do, to play that many games. So, yeah, I'd be delighted to move another place up. Who knows how far I can get, but it's great to be at that point where, you know, every person that you manage to take over now is an absolute legend of the Scottish game.
In good company there.
Terrific. And it's, what a story it is, because we all thought he was finished. So he's equal with Alec McLeish. There's some great names at that top of that, and it just shows you how consistent some of these boys are, that they're now getting to that level of a many caps.
So they're both, so let's be frank about this, and touch wood, nothing disastrous and all that. Craig Gordon and Andy Robertson are going above Darren Fletcher as well.
Yep.
So Jim Leighton on 91, that's still, you know, 14 away for Craig Gordon if you resign him up as a goalkeeper. So let me count that. So World Cup campaign, get to the final of the World Cup. You're in the age 43 maybe by then, I don't know. But yeah, maybe we're stretching it a bit. But they're certainly both going to go. Andy Robertson, I mean, has he got left?
He's got a few left.
Good few left.
Yeah, he's got a few.
I mean, I don't know who's in the best shape to reach Kenny Dalglish in 102. Maybe that needs to. Maybe you need to just think wider. Think Billy Gilmore or something.
Yeah,
because he's probably ticking along for someone of his age. But anyway, the Scotland goalkeeper also says he thinks they're ready to turn performances into points ahead of the final Nations League match against Croatia and Poland.
The next challenge now, we need to turn the good performances into 3 points. We need to get as many as we possibly can in this group to try and stay at this level. So, it's a big couple of games coming up. We know how good it can get when we're on a good run. It starts to maybe change people's minds and be a bit more positive about the national team again. And we want to carry that forward going into the World Cup and beyond.
What are you thinking then? Friday night, Croatia. It's incredible because we're now 3 years on from playing Croatia at Hampden, when everybody told us that Luka Modric was old,
right,
and it would all be fine.
What a goal. He's still playing.
He's still kicking a ball.
Still playing. It's incredible. What a career the guy's had. I don't know. I just think there was a wee bit of criticism, but I think that the performances were improved definitely in the last. We just unfortunate we didn't get the results we're looking for. I've got a sneaky wee feeling we might get something from the game, whether that's a draw or a win, I'm not so sure, but I think we'll get a positive result on Friday.
Yeah, I'm going draw in that game. I am. And then
you think we'll beat Poland?
Yeah.
No Lewandowski out. That helps.
I didn't think he was great against Scotland.
Oh, come on.
I
know he wasn't, but still, we need to learn our lessons from doing this.
I don't think he was great against Scotland.
Fine, but you'd rather he wasn't there, surely.
100%. It doesn't matter. Beat them anyway. That's 3 points.
6 points.
I'm doing a Hugh.
Interested to see the team. And again, we can really probably get stuck into debating this tomorrow on Friday, but just your thoughts, because I know you know him and love him. I mean, John McGinn's like been first name in the team sheet at times, for sure.
Are you suggesting he isn't?
No, just a nod to how well the midfield did in his absence last time.
I'm playing with the wingers.
On paper, the one that I think people would go for is Kenny McLean to come out and John McGinn to go in. Kenny McLean was magnificent against Portugal. I don't think people should overlook that just because he's been in loads of squads and Norwich and all that sort of stuff. Brilliant against Portugal.
He was absolutely brilliant, and it's probably not natural for John to play as one of those holders as well. Obviously, you know, we'll see, but yeah, listen, I think John comes back in because, you know, what he's done for Scotland.
Okay, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow. We can get stuck into that debate. I love this. It's go through social media, Twitter, Instagram, say get in touch with the show. But no one ever gets in touch to say, could you just get Marvin and Simon's really detailed analysis, cutting edge of what's happening in the state of the Scottish game? I just get one from Tony Berry who says, I'm trying to find it. Any chance you can play that clip of that time Gordon Dalziel's voice went a bit funny? Is that... Tony Berry, I'm here to serve your wishes, so why not? Have we got it still?
wasn't very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all, so.
What on earth happened
there?
Asking you shall receive. I don't know, it's some sort of problem. His voice box. It was months ago, but Tony's obviously just lying awake thinking about it. And he wanted to hear it again.
He was whistling, remember, he was whistling with his nose.
Incredible. Right, okay, the teaser. Teenagers that have scored in the Premiership this year: Owen Sturton, James Wilson, Lennon Miller, David Watson,
Kelly,
Daniel Kelly.
There
well done.
He is.
The Dundee one is about a month ago against Kilmarnock. He's on loan, I think, and it's gonna, that's what makes it tricky.
Mm.
He played at the weekend and stuff, but I just,
nah, that's not make it too tricky.
Adewumi.
No. Oh, from Burnley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See that young former Burnley man there. Look at you.
See that
disgrace.
Young, by the way.
What about Aberdeen? It was last season.
Oh, he came on against Hibs again.
Obviously against Hibs.
16-year-old striker.
Remember his name?
No.
Right, we've been talking Scotland.
16.
We've been talking Scotland internationals, so just combine the two surnames. It's like two surnames of Scotland internationals.
Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
Boyd.
Fletcher Boyd.
There you go. I'm impressed with that. I'm impressed with
it's
that.
Actually,
you must have known a bit, because with no disrespect to my big pal, you wouldn't go Boyd as your first Scotland player off the top of your head. Was I speaking about him earlier?
Yeah.
All good things, honestly. Right, Fletcher Boyd. Well done. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Marvin.
Oh, I knew that, Fletcher
we Boyd. Are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It is Gordon DL here, and we're just going to watch the Masters, I think. It'll be like Gogglebox. You'll be watching us, watching the Masters, slaughtering Simon Donnelly and Mark Wilson and the rest.
Ears will be
you want to come back in for an extra shift, Marvin?
Oh,
you don't want to miss that.
Throw eggs at that TV.
There we go. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Thanks for listening.